This is 89.9 WWNO. Yes, we're headed for another art-filled week. Are you making plans or do you need some ideas? Well, you've come to the right place. Whether you're in the mood for a spiritual healing, a music festival billed as a party with a purpose, or a classroom experience to excite your inner artist, it's all in the mixed media. Come along as we go inside the arts. Hi, I'm your host, Diane Mack. A sea of white and sacred drumming signal the annual Ma'afa commemoration, a tribute honoring African ancestors who perished during the transatlantic slave trade, also known as the Middle Passage. This ritual is presented by the Ashe Cultural Arts Center. Joining me is Ashe's Executive Director, Carol Bebel, and Community and Cultural Programs Consultant, Luther Gray. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
This year's commemoration, the 17th, is focused on the city's upcoming tricentennial celebration. How so?
Well, we've really always carried a motto that talks a lot about the past and how it influences but doesn't have to determine the future. So our motto for the Ma'afa is the past we inherit, the future we create. And the tricentennial is very much moving in that same spirit, honoring the past, the good past as well as the bad past, and kind of being resolved about making the future better and brighter for everyone. In addition to that, it's the prelude to think about the notion that we are in a year that is going to mark the demarcation of a 300-year history as we move into a brighter future. One of the ways in which we are hoping to get people to understand that everything that shines for somebody doesn't wind up being a star for everyone is looking at the fleur-de-lis, which has a very mixed past in terms of being the flower of light and a signal to royalty in France, and which then became used in a very dastardly way as a marking tool, a branding tool for Africans who dare to run for their freedom. So we're also going to include a redemption component to the Ma'afa that is going to be about really reclaiming and giving the fleur-de-lis a brighter future than its past has been. We're doing a few things there in addition to doing the primary purpose for the Ma'afa, which is to be able to stand there and be mindful of the fact that there were ancestors of ours who got snatched, lived through a horrific trip and a horrific life to have children who could then be the foremothers and fathers to who we are, and understand if that is indeed the worst thing in the world that can happen to anyone, then what we're handling now on the planet is something that we ought to be able to put our minds, our arms, and our aims, and our spirits to getting accomplished. All of those things are about reminding us that there is more that we can give and bring to the service of making the world better for everyone, and particularly making the world better for children and people of African descent.
What is the origin of the word Ma'afa, and what does it mean?
Ma'afa is a Swahili word, and it means great tragedy.
That's spelled M-A-A-F-A?
Correct.
How will you honor ancestors of the Middle Passage in this ritual ceremony?
One of the big things is the choice that we make at that moment to be flooded with the knowledge that comes from really thinking deeply about the lives and the circumstances of our ancestors, and allowing it to bother us enough to move us to be better.
Now, this begins as a gathering in Armstrong Park at Congo Square with the wearing of white clothing and drumming. What's the significance there?
White is a spiritual color, and it has a sense of purity about it.
Drums are probably the second oldest musical instrument known to humans, I mean, the first one being the human voice. And in terms of Africa, the drum traditions are so strong and so powerful because the drums speak to the languages of the people. When Africans were enslaved, they were banned from playing drums because they could actually send messages because they could speak their languages through the drums. When we drum and we dance, our spirit begins to emerge from its subconscious. And if we are mind, body, and soul, then our soul is as unique as our fingerprint, and our soul probably really tells us who we are. When we're able to drum long and dance long and participate as community, then you have an idea that comes out of your soul. I think that's really the secret of life, the genius of ancient and indigenous people. We pour libations to our ancestors. We have prayers from different faiths. Our grand griot, who we're honoring this year, is Jerome Smith from Tambourine and Fan. Griot is an African word for a storyteller or a historian. He's lived the whole civil rights movement, integrating buses and standing up for our people's rights here when they couldn't eat at the lunch counters. His knowledge of Black New Orleans over the last 50 years is so incredible.
In prior years, you moved throughout the city. Will there be the same type of tour?
Yes, because we're retracing the steps of our ancestors. We have a procession that leaves Armstrong Park and travels into Treme. And we go to the St. Augustine Church, the Tomb of the Unknown Slave. Continue to the French Quarter. We stop at the Supreme Court building. We stop at St. Louis and Charters, the spot where the slave auctions took place. We leave there. We go into Waldenburg Park at the Mississippi River that brought in the first slave ships in 1719. And we conclude our ceremony there.
The event has expanded this year.
We're beginning on Thursday with the dance and drum workshop at the Ashe Cultural Arts Center, 1724 Arethra Castle Haley Boulevard. We're so honored to bring OU Oro, Afro-Cuban Experimental Dance Company from Santiago, Cuba, to this Maafa. Their director, Denise Lamora Perez Prada, she's from Santiago. She's really renowned around the world as a pivotal Cuban contemporary dance artist. She's also married to Francisco Lamora Catlett, Elizabeth Catlett's son. So their family is linked not only from Cuba, but the whole the 20th century of visual arts in the United States. Mm-hmm. And so she's bringing ancestral dances that are from three traditions, from the Yoruba, from Benin, and from the Congo, and how that has influenced Haiti, Cuba, and New Orleans. Mm-hmm. We're going to be learning dances from these three traditions, and we're so honored to have drummers who live here in New Orleans, the renowned Bill Summers and Alexi Marti from Havana, Cuba. And so that's going to take place Thursday evening from 6 to 9, free and open to the public. And then on Friday night, we've partnered with the National Park Service. By the way, we've also partnered with NALAC, which is an organization.
It's the National Association of Latin American Artists.
Which has made Oyo Oro's presence possible. And that Friday night, we're having a Maafa concert from 7 to 9, preceded by a Maafa art exhibit. And so we're going to have an interesting blend of New Orleans, Cuban, contemporary, and hip-hop, and that leads into the ceremony at 7 a.m. in Congo Square on Saturday morning, July 1st.
And what would you say will be most memorable from this experience?
I think everyone will get something unique from this experience based on their own ancestry.
It's not just a call for people of African descent. This is a call for all people to come, because the past that we have is a joined past. We have different paths and places in it, but we're all a part of it. The honor to our ancestors is to really grab a better life for their great, 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 great granddaughters and sons.
Ashe Cultural Arts Center Executive Director Carol B. Bell and Community and Cultural Programs Consultant Luther Gray. Thanks.
Thank you, Diane.
Thank you.
The Maafa commemoration takes place Saturday, 7 a.m. in Armstrong Park's Congo Square. More info on that and pre-Maafa events is online at ashecac.org. That's ashecac.org. You're listening to Inside the Arts on 89.9 WWNO, New Orleans Public Radio. I'm Diane Mack. Legendary singer Diana Ross gets the Party with a Purpose started as Essence Festival kicks off this week, and we caught up with Essence Magazine features editor Lauren Williams. Welcome to Inside the Arts.
Thank you so much. I'm very excited to be here.
Essence Fest has been going strong in New Orleans for over two decades now. It began in the mid-1990s as a celebration of the magazine's 25th anniversary, a magazine focusing on the African-American community, specifically women. Did you ever think that a women's magazine would have such a big draw in the city, a draw that's kept this festival going over two decades?
I think it makes perfect sense. The difference between essence in any other entity that might come to New Orleans to put on a festival or put on a show is that we really do want to invest in the people here. It's not like we're just coming to reap the benefits of an amazing city and then just leave. There's a real emphasis on investing in the people of New Orleans, and I think that has kept people coming back and really seeing the benefit of having this here and hosting it. And there's also a huge economic empowerment portion. Last year, we helped to bring in $250 million to the city over the course of 3 days. And I think that's also really powerful.
Now, it's expanded beyond the city of New Orleans all the way over to South Africa.
Absolutely. We just had our first Durban Festival last November, I want to say. It was a lot about investing in the business owners in Durban, a lot of independent, small entrepreneurs who got so much exposure by being aligned with the Essence brand, highlighting young, up-and-coming Durban artists and really celebrating that culture. So, yeah, we were having a global moment.
Music is such a big part of this celebration. What's new this year? Who are the headliners?
So our big headliner on the first day opening is Diana Ross. I think she's going to be electric.
If you need me, call me. No matter where you are, no matter how far.
She is paired up with John Legend, who also is amazing. We have our first ever ladies' night. We'll have Mary J. Blige, Jill Scott, Chaka Khan, and just a celebration of women.
Are you ready for your blessing? Are you ready?
And then we have Chance the Rapper, who's having an amazing moment right now, young guy out of Chicago, as well as Master P and the No Limit reunion. Solange will be there. Also, Trombone Shorty, D1, and Escape is going to be performing together for the first time in years. I think it's going to be really awesome.
In addition to this musical party, Essence Festival is billed as having a purpose to the party. What exactly is the purpose?
So the purpose is to really speak to the other parts of Black people's lives that we're constantly thinking about. I think the empowerment experience speaks to that most specifically. That's our series of heavy-hitting speakers who just come and, you know, share their insights with the audience. We have Reverend Al Sharpton, who will be talking about the current political climate, along with Maxine Waters, who definitely, since this presidency, has had a resurgence of voicing her opinions and really fighting to be the voice of her constituents. Ian LaVanzant, another crowd favorite. We have Ava DuVernay coming to talk about how activism informs her film work. So that's just a really great place for our festival goers to be able to liaise with people that they might not have ever had a chance to be in the same room with before. And they're talking about things like access to healthcare, education, politics, economics, and all that jazz. And so we really want to be a forum for that in addition to the music.
You also have some young new voices.
Yes, I'm also very excited about Tamika Mallory. She is one of the women who helped form the Women's March after Trump's election.
Now, the empowerment experience, this is what goes on in the Morial Convention Center?
Right. There's a million things going on, but for the most part, the empowerment experience is in a huge room. But, you know, for the big acts, they really, really fill up fast.
There is something this year called the Woke Gallery. What is that?
It's actually the Woke Wonderland, and it's a companion piece to the empowerment experience. And basically what we're doing is putting power back into the reader's hands. And we're saying, these are the issues that we're talking about. These are the things that affect our lives. How can you be involved? And that's, you know, one component of being woke. It's more than being aware about the issues. It's saying that you're going to actually do something. So what we're doing is, it's a social media campaign, and we are encouraging readers to take photos, make pledges about what they're going to do to impact social change in their neighborhoods. So in the convention center, we'll have all these sort of activations. So you'll see Woke Wonderland logos, and you'll want to maybe take a Snapchat or take a Twitter photo and share that among your friends.
What is the best way to experience Essence Festival?
I think it's best to download the Essence Festival app, because it's very helpful in helping you organize your days. Because honestly, if you try to do everything, you will be completely lost and you'll miss out. But just come in with a plan, you know, have fun and, you know, figure out what concerts you want to see, what speakers you want to see. Just enjoy the city.
Essence Magazine features editor Lauren Williams, thanks for stopping by.
Thanks, Diane.
The 23rd Annual Essence Festival runs Friday through Sunday with activities in the Mercedes-Benz Superdome and Morial Convention Center. More info is online at EssenceFestival.com. Now, school's out for summer, but it's adults who are filling those classrooms, lured by the call of the arts. The NOCA Institute's summer studio continues with new offerings in July. Maybe you want to learn culinary skills from an acclaimed local chef, or try your hand at figure drawing. NOCA Institute Director of Communications and Public Programs Richard Reed is here with details on a variety of courses being offered to spark your creative energy. Hello, Richard.
Hi, how are you?
And welcome back.
Ah, thanks.
You know, this sounds like so much fun. Tell us, how is NOCA, the New Orleans Center for Creative Arts, the Institute, attracting grown-ups back to class?
It's actually not hard to do. We tour adults through the campus all the time. They come for concerts. Maybe they want to learn a little bit more. Maybe they're a parent of a prospective student, so we take them on tours. And the first words out of their mouth are almost always, man, I wish I'd been able to attend NOCA as a kid. So getting them to come to NOCA is not a challenge, generally speaking. And we also have some amazing faculty who are teaching these classes, largely NOCA faculty members.
So how did the program get its start?
We have a beautiful facility. It's tailor-made for training people in a variety of arts disciplines. And whenever students and faculty aren't using it, we try to make it available to the general public. We started before Katrina doing a series of summer classes for adults. And then after the storm, obviously, we had different priorities for a little while. And we started, I guess, about 6 or 7 years ago, beginning to build that program back. And this summer, we are up to 15 classes. They cover a wide range of disciplines. Some of them are really deep dives.
What's coming up in the month of July?
So, month of July is largely about writing. It's nice air-conditioned classes. we have a couple of great writing classes. I'm sorry to say that the cooking classes that we have with Chef Frank Brightson are at the moment full. I am normally quite an optimist, but I am not super optimistic about the waiting list for those classes clearing out anytime soon. But don't worry, Chef Frank is a faculty member and a fixture at NOCA, so if you missed out on it this summer, we're going to try to get him to teach some more classes in the fall and in the spring. The three favorites that I have at this point would be two in creative writing, and then the one that you mentioned earlier in figure drawing. The creative writing class, one of them is taught by Laura Naughton, who's the chair of creative writing at NOCA. It's a class in using compassion to write about characters that you might not think that you could identify with. She has a new, a relatively new memoir out called The Jaguar Man. If you haven't read it, it's a really powerful work, and she explores themes of compassion to write about someone that she should, by many accounts, have little compassion for. Laura's class, I should point out, is it's a full-day class. It's a one-day deep dive. But Tom Andes is taking an even deeper dive into fiction writing. And that takes place over, I think, 6 or 7 weeks, Tuesdays and Thursdays. So it's a great opportunity for people who want to develop their fiction writing skills to really explore those with a really seasoned writer. And then Gary Oakes, who is on the faculty of SUNO, is going to teach a class in figure drawing. If you have ever had any aspirations or any training in visual arts, you know how important it is to know how to draw, to know those basic skills. And Gary's a fantastic teacher. We offered this class last summer, and it was a huge hit. So we asked him to come back, and he very graciously agreed.
Now, you also have a course in the history of graphic design?
That is a class that is perfect for someone like me, who's a sort of a lecture nerd, who loves to see how graphic design evolved over the years. So if you have a love of fonts, typefaces, if you really sort of geek out around composition and the way that, say, ads are laid out on a page, it's a perfect class to see how things evolve over time.
So we can learn how to cook, We can learn about graphic design. We might try our hand at writing a memoir, a little fiction, or drawing, figure drawing with live models. That's quite a range of courses. How do you go about choosing the courses?
We start with the NOCA faculty members themselves. I send out an email in the spring, and I ask them what they would like to teach. I ask them to pitch me on an idea. I personally like to think of this as an opportunity for them to explore a subject or to teach something that they might not have the opportunity to explore or teach during the school year with their students. Maybe it's something that they're working on after hours or during the summer. So Russell Wolf, he's on the academic faculty at NOCA. He's teaching a photography class. It's not something that he would ordinarily teach during his time at NOCA, but he is a massively talented photographer on the side. So it gives him the opportunity to use what he knows best, math and science, as a window onto photography. So we start with the NOCA faculty members, and then we broaden it to a lot of the visiting artists. So Ashley Keaton, who works with the Ella Project, which is a legal resource largely targeted at artists here in New Orleans. I have the privilege of working with her in my spare hours here in the Arts Administration program at UNO. And she's an amazing teacher. She did a class on copyright and trademarking for artists. And she was happy to teach that as part of the summer studio as well.
What's been the response from the adults, many who may be in the second half of life, who are pursuing these creative endeavors at the NOCA Institute?
It's been fascinating to watch. It's been a great opportunity to get a lot of people on campus who might never have had the opportunity to visit NOCA. They didn't have a child who attended NOCA or a relative who attended NOCA. So they come and they're amazed that we have this beautiful facility sandwiched between two historic neighborhoods here in New Orleans. We find that adults generally fall into two categories. Some are sort of mid-career or emerging artists, like they're already practicing in that given field, and this gives them the opportunity to take their training a little bit further. Sometimes they are people who took a particular subject as a class. Tap is really popular. So they may have taken tap as a child, and then they sort of want to relive that. They want to try it again and see if they can remember what they did before. There's one woman who called me who said that she was looking for an opportunity to do some more exercise. Her doctor said that she needed to do exercise. She took tap when she was younger and wanted to give this class a try. It's really exciting to see the range of people that come into these classes.
The NOCA Institute's Richard Reed, thanks for stopping by.
Thanks for having me.
Registration information is online at summerstudionola.eventbrite.com. NOCA Institute Summer Studio classes begin Saturday, July 8th. That's our show for this week. Support for Inside the Arts comes from the Helles Foundation. Our program is a production of WWNO and is archived at WWNO.org. I'll be back with more ideas for your artistic palette next Tuesday at 1 p.m. when we'll go Inside the Arts. I'm Diane Mack.